Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
To get a player like Nick Madrigal, he just really fits what we're trying to do going forward really well. Just, I love how he plays the game. I've loved how he plays the game, you know, played the game since college. And, you know, I was envious of the White Sox that, you know, that to get a player like that, that, you know, he fits so well with their boppers in the middle of the lineup. And so we were excited to be able to do that. And Cody Hoyer is a guy that we've always, you know, thought has a terrific arm in the bullpen. So, you know, those guys, we'll be helping, you know, the soonest.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. No, I ain't seen my baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna.
That was the voice of the Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And he was talking about Nick Madrigal. Of course, Craig Kimbrell, who gave up the three-run bomb yesterday to Andrew Romine, traded from the Cubs to the White Sox for Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer. And let's keep the Cubs-Sox talk hot. Sox took game one yesterday, 8-6 in 10 innings. Brian Goodwin with a big two-run homer. Also, Tim Anderson, an RBI hit as well that really put the game away yesterday because, yeah, Frank Schwindel hit the two-run homer off Garrett Crochet in the 10th inning. So the Sox beat the Cubs 8-6 in 10 innings. Game two is today. Adbert Alzolay against Carlos Rodon, 12:45 pregame here on The Score. And joining us now from the Chicago Tribune is Paul Sullivan from Wrigley Field. What's going on, Sully? How are you?
Doing great, Grode. How are you? Where's Rosie?
I am well. Yeah, no Rosie today. I'm not really sure. I think that he passed a drug test, which is not allowed on this show. So he is not with
Sorry
us
to
today.
Hear that.
It's okay. I will try to be as caustic as possible in his stead.
Thank you.
If that's okay with you. Yes, of course.
I actually want to ask you
about Nick Madrigal, because I have noticed a phenomenon that since he left the White Sox, anybody who is associated with the White Sox as a broadcaster or talker, whatever the case, pregame show, postgame show, television, radio, whatever, all of a sudden, Nick Madrigal has gone from Nicky Two Strikes, and we love the contact, and he's terrific, and game-winning hit, and what a player, to all of a sudden, he's all right, he's not that great, his defense is off, he can't hit the ball over the wall, he's too small. Is he good or not?
I think he's good. I do agree that, you know, he's got some work to do defensively, and his base running IQ, you know, needs to pick up a little bit. But, man, you rarely see a guy like that, especially in this day and age, that a guy that makes that much contact and it's that difficult to strike out. You know, he's not going to be a you know, all-timer, I don't think. Mr. 3000, I think he called himself in spring training. But I do think he, you know, he's going to be a good leadoff hitter. Hopefully the Cubs put him in that position. And, No, I don't understand all the trash talking of Nick Madrigal since the trade, but I agree that I thought Jed made a good move in getting him, and I also think Han made a good move in getting Kimbrel, despite what happened yesterday.
What did you make of what happened yesterday, Tony La Russa bringing Kimbrel in the eighth inning? Is that just a bad day for Kimbrel, or is it because of the eighth inning mental block?
No, I don't see him as having an eighth-inning mental block. He pitched well last week against Cleveland in a setup situation. I mean, it wasn't that same kind of a game. But, no, I think that was a one-off. I think probably put a lot of pressure on himself coming into Wrigley Field and pitching against his former team. And, you know, there's just so much pressure on him now that he's gone over there after what was really – almost a historic first half or first, you know, 4 months for the Cubs. His ERA was, you know, on pace to set the all-time record for relief ERA in the season. So now that's probably out of the realm of possibility now, and he can just settle in. And I think what's really going to be interesting is when we see La Russa switch the roles and put Liam in the eighth and give Kimbrel the ninth, which, you know, they claim that they're going to do sometimes, but we haven't seen that yet.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I do think, well, I think a couple things. I do think that Craig Kimbrel should get the majority of the ninth innings. However, I don't excuse what he did in the eighth inning. I mean, if we're going to talk about Craig Kimbrel in terms of is he a Hall of Famer or not, if he's getting that conversation, then you damn well better be able to pitch in any inning. But I do think that he's been a better closer this year. He's been a better closer throughout his career. Shouldn't Kimbrel just be the ninth inning guy?
I don't know. I mean, Liam, as we saw yesterday, he bailed them out of that game. They're both so good. I don't see the, you know, the problem with giving both of them a role. And Kimbrel definitely should be able to pitch the eighth inning, especially. You know, they're saying, well, you're coming in and it's not the same adrenaline. But if you can't get that kind of adrenaline pitching yesterday at Wrigley Field in a Cubs Sox game, then, you know, you're never going to find it. I just think it was a bad game for him. And I don't think Sox fans should be worried. And, you know, we'll see how La Russa handles it the rest of the year. But I think it's cool that Liam said, hey, we want to win this thing. And if I have to give up some save opportunities to do so, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no, I like him saying that, and I think I believe him. Of course, he wants the high wire act and all of that, but yeah, he is willing to go anywhere and pitch anywhere and do anything.
Yeah, they might have rushed the T-shirts, the ponytail T-shirts, ponytail gang T-shirts. I would have held off on that for a while, but you know, other than that, no problem.
Yeah, Paulie, what is it like covering this Cubs team now, and how do you think that yesterday was the first Wrigley Field game with a bunch of guys that, you know, other than Wilson Contreras and a couple, it's pretty amazing that when Patrick Wisdom or Matt Duffy comes up, I'm like, oh yeah, you could kind of trust those guys. Like as before, they were punchlines themselves, or at least Patrick Wisdom was. Have you been able to figure out how Cubs fans have taken this in? Are they just Cubs fans who had tickets and they're, damn it, they're still going to go to the game?
Well, it's hard to tell this weekend because there's so many Sox fans here as well. I think we'll get a gist of it when the Sox leave town and we see how they do attendance-wise the rest of the year. But, you know, obviously everyone's upset about what happened. Not everyone. There are some people that thought that the big three were a little too greedy, but I'd say for the most part, fans were on the player's side here. They didn't think that all three of them needed to go. But, you know, Jed pulled off the Band-Aid and, you know, did the whole thing at once, and I think once the shock value wore off, they're like, okay, you know, let's see what he does this off season, and the rest of the year, it's just going to be basically, you know, go out to Wrigley Field, have a few beers, and, you know, have some fun. You know, we're used to that. In Chicago, teams being out of the race in the second half, so you know, it's not like it's anything unusual. I think it's just that this Cubs team's been good for quite a few years now, and it's kind of back to the old days again.
Yeah, it is, and it's a matter of how long that will last. And Paul, I want to ask
you. Depends what they do. It's awesome.
Right. What do you think, man? I mean, and Jettler's giving you guys no direction.
Yeah, no, I don't even think he knows what he's going to do, but they claim that, and I heard it on your station this morning on Bruce and Hawes' show, that Bruce says that they are going to spend money, so, you know, they better.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to come through there to you know, have some sort of fan interaction and reaction. Yeah. I do want to ask you about David Ross, though. We know he didn't sign up for this. Like, it's possible that Jed Hoyer had to potentially foresee everybody leaving, but I don't think David Ross did. Do you think he wants to stay on as Cubs manager?
Well, yeah, where is he going to go?
Well, I don't know. He's talented another way. He could be a broadcaster. We know he can dance, and we know he'd probably be qualified to manage for other teams. So he all of a sudden, this has got to be a shock to his system like nobody else, because he's got to be out there every day putting the lineup card together.
I don't know. He had to know. I mean, we've written for years that, you know, this day was going to come when all these three guys' contracts are up, and, you know, they're going to have to make a decision. So I think when he signed on, he knew that, and it was, maybe he didn't think he'd lose all three of them, but sure, he thought he'd lose either Javi or Brian. I don't, you know, he's got another year after this one, and then I think he has an option for the next year, so I would imagine, I'm just guessing, the Cubs will pick up that option and give him a chance to prove himself, kind of as a rebuilding and development kind of manager instead of a guy that's expected to win.
What did you make of the whole Rizzo kind of indicating that Jed Hoyer and the Cubs were not handing out the money they should have to keep their guys? Do you think that officially means that none of those dudes are coming back to the Cubs and it's over in that regard?
I don't think you can say that for sure, but I think that certainly suggests that, especially with Rizzo. I don't know what the offers were to everyone. We saw the one that was offered to Rizzo. Supposedly, the Athletics said $70 million 5 years, which kind of looked like an overpayment now after the year he's had. I know he's had a big week with the Yankees, but he really didn't produce offensively for the Cubs this year and definitely not last year. And he is 32 this week, so, you know, you got to think of that, too. So I don't know if they were being ungenerous to him, unless he thought they were going to pay him, you know, just based on everyone who owns Rizzo. As far as Javi and Javi and Bryant, I think they could have at least signed one of them, and I think they should have, but I don't know what they were offering. I don't know what they were asking for, and certainly neither of them have... You know, they've had better years this year, but certainly not what we expected either of them.
Paulie, thank you, sir. I'll have Steve Rosenblum send you a text message, connect some dots and board some planes and things like that, just so you can get your fix.
Yeah, please. I need to know whose plane is boarding. Is it Jed or is it Kimbrel's?
It's probably somebody with the Bears.
All of their planes are boarding.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you later, man.
All right, Grub.
See you. All right, see you, buddy. That's Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767. A few text messages from the 260. Perhaps Madrigal will benefit from playing on a non-contender. Lots of pressure on a young player to contribute on the team in the Sox position. That's true. I mean, yeah, maybe now you can, at least for a year, you can continue development. He was thrown into the fire. So, and, that's another thing. Everybody said he was all of a sudden, like, Sox people saying he was overdrafted. From the 630. Poor little Cub boy Grody. Okay. Don't lie. Nobody from the Sox ever said Madrigal sucks. They were very complimentary and only pointed out areas for improvement. From the 630, or to the 630, you cannot be condescending and wrong at the same time, sir. Okay. Or ma'am, whomever you are. Just get that through your head right now. cannot, and this is for everybody. If you're going to be condescending, you can't be wrong. And you're wrong, 630. From the 312, I remember hearing Addison Russell with Barry Larkin, use your eyes, not your ears. Well, for the record, I did not come up with that comp back in the day. There was a lot of things said about Addison Russell, and Addison Russell had some nice moments until he stopped having nice moments. Let's see. Still no update on GM for the Cubs. Are they even looking? Maybe no intention of getting one in that position. That's a good point. I mean, Jed Hoyer, president of baseball operations, has not filled essentially his spot, the spot that Theo Epstein had for Jed Hoyer. There, you know, there is no general manager on the Chicago Cubs. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I wanted to get back to this text message because I had a little back and forth with the texter because I didn't really understand what he or she was saying.
But little Cub Boy Grody is your new nickname, by the way.
Little Cub Boy Grody. I'd accept that if the texter wasn't wrong. I'll say it again. You can't be condescending and wrong at the same time. It's like it just doesn't work. So I'm sorry, texter. Come back. You're not going to get blocked, right? Come on back if you want. You got to do better than that. Okay, so you said, this is the texter, you said you were tired of seeing the Sox play crappy teams like the Cubs. I just don't remember hearing you say that about that great Cubs team in 2016. I don't know, it's possible you're right. When the Cubs were demolishing every single team, I guess I'm looking at it maybe more objectively now, like where I am watching all of the White Sox games, and it's really, I guess I'm kind of making an excuse for the White Sox, to be honest with you. Maybe you misinterpreted my words, texter, or maybe my tone, and I totally understand that. Sometimes that happens. But for me, it's like, okay, I understand that the Sox may not play as well against the Kansas City Royals as they would play if they were, you know, playing against a first place team. You know, that is of interest at this point. And the Cubs are not, and nor are the Kansas City Royals, nor were the Baltimore Orioles. It's just, it's not fun, it's not interesting, and there is human nature involved. How up are you going to get for those teams if you are a player? You should, yes, the White Sox should win those games, but at the same time, it just sucks to watch those games.
I think
it really does.
Let me try to explain why you might not have said that about the Cubs in 2016, because at that point you're doing pre and post. You're not really in a position like you are now to say, I'm sick of this. Like, would you have said on the Cubs broadcast, like, man, I'm sick of playing these garbage teams? No, you wouldn't say that. So you might have said that off air for all we know, just in back and forth to like producers or something, but you're not going to say that in that position that you were in at the time. You can say it now as someone that's just speaking objectively as a host or as a fan. So that might be the reason you didn't hear that.
Right. And it's always more interesting in any sport when two good teams are playing against each other. And it's often not interesting when a good team is playing a bad team. It's just not fun. And I've seen way too much of that. When it happens with the White Sox, it's just not interesting because they're so good, and I'd rather see them measure up against other good teams. From the 312, consider the source. White Sox fans loved Gordon Beckham. I heard Sox fan callers who didn't want the Sox to trade Beckham for Adrian Gonzalez. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. That I can understand because Gordon Beckham was obviously a first-round pick. He was considered like he was going to be this whiz kid. He was bacon, man. He was going to save that Sox team. And he did come up, and he did have success right away. I remember him having a really good half a season where he was like a doubles machine. But he's yours. He's your guy. And so you get excited about it, and you lose sight of the rest of things because he's in your little bubble. You take possession and pride for guys that are drafted on your team, and sometimes it's hard to see outside of it. And there's no doubt Gordon Beckham was a bust in where he was drafted. Seems like a great dude. I was part of interviews with him back when I covered the White Sox, and you know, when he was around, and he was a great dude. And I think he's going to be a pretty good broadcaster, the whole thing. But no, he did not live up to being a first round pick in any way, shape, or form. All right, I'm looking through my notes. Oh yeah, I had one more thing on the Cubs and the Sox. So now Wilson Contreras, relative to the rest of the roster, looks like a superstar on that team. Does Wilson Contreras, does he get to be a leader now? Now can he be a leader? Because he wasn't allowed to be a leader before, right? So now, David Ross, does Wilson Contreras get to voice his opinion or no? Is Rizzo still the leader from New York? Is he still going to pipe it in? I was just wondering if it's okay for Wilson Contreras to speak his mind now, or does he have to keep that to himself? Just wondering. 312-644-6767. Love the interaction with texters and callers. Appreciate it. Keep it coming, even if you want to be condescending. And trust me, I come at this from as objective as a viewpoint as possible. I am not a Cubs fan. Alright? Yeah. When I was growing up, I was a Cubs fan. I kind of wish I still had fandom in me. I really don't. So this is about as objective as you're going to get. Sox beat the Cubs yesterday 8-6 in 10 innings. How about we'll talk more baseball. And if you want to get a call in, 312-644-6767. And then I'll tell you what is going down with the Bears. Obviously, I'm not out there today, but I've been out there on most days, and I could add some insight on the Chicago Bears. I'm Mark Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's nothing short of what I expected. Fans brought it today. Our fans brought it today. The team showed up, played good ball like we expected, and we came out on top. So can't really ask for much more.
So White Sox outfielder Brian Goodwin, two-run homer off Manny Rodriguez, who plays for the Cubs, yesterday. Give the Sox the lead in the 10th inning. They needed it all, though. Tim Anderson's RBI hit came in handy as well. White Sox beat the Cubs 8-6 in 10. I like Brian Goodwin. I don't know if you guys heard the Brian Goodwin interview on The Score with Parkins and Spiegel. It was great. It was great. Other than the very beginning where Parkins screwed up. But you'll have to go back and listen to it on their podcast. But he is a wholly likable guy, man. And he had the biggest hit of the day yesterday. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was Tim Anderson's hit, you know, that made it 8-4 at the time. Because, look, Frank Schwindel, the two-run homer off Garrett Crochet. It's just too bad that David Ross ran out of players and Zach Davies was the final out of the day. It's Mark Grody. I'm here with you for a few more minutes on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Cubs and White Sox coming up at 12:45. Zach Zabeman will have the pregame. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer will have the call of the game. I'm really enjoying the Cubs and Sox talk today. I'll run down some Bears stuff here in just a second. But back to the texter that we're going back and forth about Nick Madrigal. The texter writes to me, "How am I wrong? Listen to Stone's comments. He never said the word suck. Madrigal was probably overdrafted, but he's a good player and hopefully will be ... But anyway, you're right. The word suck was never used. So if that's the technicality you're going to, here's my point. That ever since he's been traded, all of a sudden he has gone from Nicky Two Strikes and, oh, love the contact and this guy is terrific and what a player, to all of a sudden hearing about all of his flaws and the fact that he was overdrafted. And I'm not talking about just Steve Stone. I'm talking about everybody, TV pregame, radio pregame, White Sox, this, that. Like, everybody who had been high on Nick Madrigal is suddenly pointing out his flaws and saying, well, we didn't really need him. Now, is it a hell of a trade for the White Sox, and would you do it 10 times out of 10? Yes, of course I would. To get Craig Kimbrel, it's 100% a win for the White Sox to make that deal, 10 out of 10. I just don't like the fact that all of a sudden I'm hearing all the flaws in his game, whereas before he was great. So that, I don't know, that bugs me a little bit. 312-644-6767 is the number. As far as the Bears are concerned, I'm not out there today, but my guy Chris Emma is, and throw Roquan Smith on the injury list. Roquan Smith missed the practice today because of a groin injury. Same guys are out on the offensive line. That would include Elijah Wilkinson, who is on the COVID list. Tevin Jenkins because of his back. Jermaine Ifedi, the hip. Lechavius Pig Simmons out with a concussion. Larry Borum, concussion. He is out. So, yeah, it's a problem. Now, I never thought I would say this, but at least with Elijah Wilkinson, it's just COVID. I know that's a bizarre thing to say, and I hope he's okay, and I hope he recovers, but most young people do recover from COVID, so the hope is that Elijah Wilkinson will be back soon, and that he's healthy, and that he's okay, and that his friends and family are okay as well. You know, with Tevin Jenkins, who knows? I just have no idea as to when he may or may not be back. I got a better feeling about Ifedi making his way back into the lineup soon. And then concussions, you know, that's at least a week with Lechavius Simmons and Larry Borum, and maybe more because of the tricky and complicated nature of head injuries. So when I'm out there yesterday, I'm writing down names. Okay, left tackle, I'm seeing there's Alex Bars. Left guard, Cody Whitehair is still out there. Center, Sam Mustipher is still out there. Right guard, hey, there's Arlington Hambright, seventh-round pick from last year. Right guard, who is that? Oh, that's Dieter Eisland, the South African-born player, the Yale guy, played his football at Yale, and now he's out there playing right guard. Tyrone Wheatley Jr. playing some right tackle. Bandura Traore, another tackle that they picked up last year, is out there doing work, and I have no idea who was out there doing work today. So it is something, and it is to the point where, yeah, it's a problem. Anybody that has asked me, when is this getting dangerous and a problem? It's a problem 3 days ago. So
yeah, it's getting to the point where it's like the Cubs right now, where it's like, I'm pretty sure these are just made up names. So like, I see these beat reporters like yourself and, you know, everyone else, like, saying that these guys are playing tackle, and I'm not sure I believe that they're actually out there playing tackle. I think it's just a conspiracy, like, oh no, they're actually out of players, and you're being told to say, no, this guy played right tackle today.
Well, it's so funny because, look, there are, you know, eventually there'll be a 53-man roster. There's 90 guys out there. So when I'm doing my Bears reports, or you're following other beat reporters on Twitter, understand that there are there's dozens of names you haven't even heard yet. And there are times when all of us are looking down at our sheets, okay, who's number whatever? Who's 82? Oh, okay. And then, of course, you have guys that have changed their numbers this year, too. So it's made it very interesting, and having to go this deep deep on a depth chart and talk about guys that maybe we wouldn't have. But you know what? That's what training camp is all about, getting some shine for some guys that wouldn't normally have gotten it. Let me get beyond the injuries here. I've been wanting to do this because every report has been about injuries. Something very interesting was said this week, and maybe it wasn't the first time it was said or the comparison has been made, but it popped up again, and that was Jimmy Graham, Bears veteran tight end, talking about Justin Fields and kind of been like, oh man, this, you know, he's kind of give that this guy, oh man, he's good. And he made a very earnest Russell Wilson comparison, like, oh, check it out, this guy, like, that's who I think of when I see this guy. We asked Matt Nagy then about that, and hey, Jimmy Graham is saying he's like Russell Wilson. What do you think about that, Matt?
With Jimmy, when he says that, now Jimmy's played with some pretty good quarterbacks. When he makes a comparison like that, it's obviously going to start something with the way people react. But for us, we understand how to temper that and where, how and what he's saying. Is he saying he's Russell Wilson? No, but he's saying he has some qualities and possibilities to be like him. He has some traits that remind him of that. So that's, we love hearing that. But Justin is going to be Justin Fields. My answer to all that would be, we just understand how to temper that. But we also appreciate, because Russell's a heck of a quarterback, and he's had a lot of success, and he's a winner.
Justin talked about that after getting drafted. He mentioned about how in recent years he had watched more and more of Russell Wilson. As a coach, do you go back and watch some of that tape with him, or is that something you encourage from the coaching standpoint?
Yeah, I would encourage it for him if he has somebody that he likes to watch because of certain reasons, whether it's scheme, whether it's the traits that Russell has versus what Justin has. I love that. But I'm not going to be able to go and watch tape of Russell with Justin. That's going to be something that he has to do on his own. If there's things that we do that he likes or that Andy likes or that, you know, these quarterbacks that fit what we're doing, and there's something where, you know, Russell did that play and it can help Justin because he likes him and his style of game, then we'll do it. But all these guys growing up, they all have somebody they look up to, all of them, and that's important.
Hey, if Justin Fields turns out to be like Russell Wilson, then that'd be great. What about the weird energy with quarterbacks this year for the Bears? Like, there was all the noise about Russell Wilson, or the hope, not the noise, there was the hope, and I was part of the hope with Russell Wilson coming here. So you don't get Russell Wilson, but you get a guy that's being compared to Justin Fields. Even before the Russell Wilson madness, there was the Carson Wentz madness. Get Carson Wentz here, get him here. Now he's injured, and then, of course, let's keep on connecting the dots here, Steve Rosenblum. And then you had the Nick Foles attraction to that Indianapolis job because of Frank Reich, and Carson Wentz is down and injured, and could Foles be there? So there's been this really interesting quarterback energy and connecting dots to all of these guys, of the names that have been mentioned for the Bears, and then your third string quarterback and Nick Foles, but, you know, kind of indicating, Frank Reich was awesome with me, designed an offense around me. And Carson Wentz probably sitting there going, putting his hand over his forehead, going, no, not this guy again. This guy comes in and wins my Super Bowl. So, and my playoff game at Soldier Field in 2018. So what a weird connections with all these, the Bears quarterbacks and guys that aren't the Bears quarterbacks. It's been a fun show. And I will say, I had the back and forth with the texture. They got a little contentious, but I love it when they end happy. And this is what sport is all about. 6-3-0, fair enough. I see your point. It's natural to evaluate the trade. I guess we're doing a radio show hyperbole. Love your show. Thanks, 6-3-0. One little shot, though, on the hyperbole. Or maybe you're saying you were being hyperbolous. I don't know. But it's all good, man. That's what it's all about. I don't mind criticism, especially if it, like, goes back and forth like that. It's so all good. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to Adam Stanzinski for producing the show. Thanks to Mark Schanowski for coming on. Paul Sullivan. Cubs pregame is next. I will be out at Bears tomorrow. I'll be watching Bears practice, and then who knows when I'll talk to you. Probably on Monday or something. I don't know. I never know. I just go on the air when they tell me. Have a great day. Zach Zabin is next. Cubs and White Sox on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yes. yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.